Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, looking at the no-hit players, and we are looking at basically guys that are younger than 27. We already covered the no-hit players from older than that, and we're looking at guys who are primarily rookies or sort of end of first-year contracts, right? So again, these are all sort of via real draft position. And so I think that, you know, we can sort of look at, get an idea of some of the market stuff and figure out ways to pivot. So, all right, Brandon Ayuk is the leading wide receiver of the wide receiver, the first round guys without a hit, wide receiver 17. This is a classic example of why you don't get sort of wrapped up in some of the value chasing games in rookie drafts. And sometimes you just let value fall to you. Second round pick, first round wide receiver, let's smash that, right? I mean, that is just this is a classic case of that, right? So they're largely random in terms of how you perform year over year in terms of improving on valuation. You take the cheap random bet versus the expensive Jerry Jeudy random bet, right? That's kind of where you're at. So both of him and Jeudy, again, first round wide receivers, 40, just short of 40% in terms of the dynamic density. If you sort of were to bin them in some of the the specific breakout ages of their careers, for example, in college, you'd give an edge to Jeudy. But I did like what I saw out of Brandon Ayuk this year. So, we'll see there. Some of his efficiency stuff really tracked up later in the season. So, again, that's a positive thing. So Jeudy's, again, that Denver situation is pretty cloudy to me without a good quarterback. So that's the concern that I have with Jeudy. Again, and I think that his production in college was probably overstated. So in terms of predictiveness of the future. So that would be the caution that I would have there on him. Marquise Brown is wide receiver 31. I'm just pretty convinced he's a low upside player. And that's kind of the problem. You just look at a guy going right next to him, Will Fuller. It's the exact opposite, right? I think he could, you know, break things if he could stay healthy and not do drugs, right? It's kind of like the Billy Madison or the Waterboy scene. And that brings me to my next point. Don't do drugs. That is really the hang up with Will Fuller. So we're hoping that that gets all squared away and we have a full season of him. We may continue waiting. All right, Jalen Reagor, wide receiver 39. The question is quarterback. And, I like the profile and I would do it again, but I think we need to update some of our information. Again, this isn't necessarily a him being bad thing, but I question some of the upside. We know only 30% of guys really uptick and rebound to where they were in rookie season startup ADP after they've fallen in year two, right? That's that first round stat that it's really the year two is the value cliff. And it kind of becomes a point of no return. So that would be the question that I would have with him. And the base rate's still good, about 40%. But you do have some lingering concerns there with him. So that would just be the thing that I would just express a little caution about. Corey Davis is without a hit, 4 years in, going to be a free agent. It's like a 3% hit rate, 2.56. Devontae Parker is the prior there. So we kind of know with him what the situation is, right? That's kind of what his prior is. So, get signed in some place in free agency? I think the market should be decent. But that's kind of where what we're going to have a question with, right? Changing teams. How does that all work? Right. That's kind of, it's a lot of big questions there. Again, no one's really paying up for it. It's wide receiver 43. But again, I think there's other players in this range that I'd rather have in terms of some of the other profiles we've talked about. Henry Ruggs, again, you have some of the insulation with his dynamic density, about 40%. But, again, falling in price, he's down about like 4 or 5 rounds based on where he was last year. I mean, that's kind of a steep fall. So that would just be the concern that I would have with him. Mike Williams, again, he's more of like a contributor at this point, really, than he is a high upside guy. He's wide receiver 53. He's probably more on the wide receiver 3 fringe than he is on a top 24 trajectory. N'Keal Harry can't feel good at this point. It's 25% in terms of his dynamic density. It's well below that in terms of my opinion on him. And it's pretty funny because him and John Ross are going pretty close to each other, which kind of says all you need to know, right? It basically, after four really bad years of John Ross, he is going essentially in the same round as N'Keal Harry is. Right? That kind of tells you what you need to know about N'Keal Harry. Market at this point. Do I think that there's a chance that he rebounds? Maybe, but it has looked pretty bad through 2 years. Okay, wide receivers with the we'll go to round two guys here. So this is you do have some pretty attractive ones in here as well. So T. Higgins, very good wide receiver, 28. So that's that really good start to the career. It's 32% dynamic density, but we really jacked that up based on his developmental hit. So that would sort of be the adjustment that I would make there. 5.8 is his ADP, and that's wide receiver 12. So that might be a little bit aggressive for me. That kind of feels like you should just take Amari Cooper there instead of trying to get, you know, multiple elite seasons out of T. Higgins, right? That's kind of the no top 12 versus, or no top 24 versus multiple top 24 dichotomy there, right? That's kind of the bet that I'd much rather make. Laviska Shenault, wide receiver 45 last year. He's at wide receiver 28 in terms of ADP. So there's a really big drop off in terms of T. Higgins until the rest of these guys. So he's, you know, you could say that's he's that much better, or he's that much more expensive, right? That there's two sides to the same coin. Deebo Samuel in here as well, 37. So I think he's a fade at the cost. I question some of the upside stuff as a gadget guy. That profile just always concerns me. Michael Pittman, we'll see on the quarterback question mark. I mean, he's right there with Deebo Samuel in the 30s, right? 38 is his wide receiver ranking. I think the name's a little bit better than his profile was coming out of college. But, you know, would I say, hey, give me a third, you know, give me a 30%, 33% shot of him hitting? Like, I think that's probably fair based on what's in front of him. And, you know, I have questions about Paris Campbell and T.Y. Hilton. And the tight end's really not that dynamic of a position there, and you could all of a sudden say, hey, listen, there's like a poor man's wide receiver one that we could sort of pump in 120 targets to. Question is, who's going to throw him, right? If he gets the targets, I don't much care who's throwing it to him, but I do think that it's an open question, and I think it'll probably fluctuate his value somewhat. Denzel Mims also on that track as well. So second year guy here, without a top 24 seasonal finish, he's wide receiver 44. I think there's changes a coming at the quarterback position there, at least there should be with the Jets. You can't, right, if you can't say, yeah, I've got the guy, then you need to get the guy. So that's really the question I have with them. So we'll see, we'll see what happens with some of the changing scheme system there. It's coming from that Shanahan tree in terms of the offense stuff. So we kind of like that as a potential, what he might look like as a wide receiver one in that system. We know that's productive. So I do hold hope there for him. I'd probably rather have him over Pittman. Christian Kirk is at 14.3%. Again, he's wide receiver 52. I'm not really getting into that at that cost. That's just not. It's a pretty low profile. It's a pretty low hit rate type situation for me. I think the upside's pretty capped, and outside of a injury to DeAndre Hopkins and them not addressing the position, I mean, that's kind of what we need to see there for Christian Kirk. And I'm just not. That's not really an investment profile. So if you can pivot off of him, if you can use him to get up in the position, I would definitely do that. Use him as a package player to move up. Mecole Hardman, he's at wide receiver 54. I do think there's a potential uptake with Sammy Watkins in free agency. So again, it has been more buzz than substance so far in his career. So that would sort of be the caution there with him. But I think he's interesting going forward. Sterling Shepard was a pretty bad contract signing for the Giants. Again, they're not just getting a ton of production out of him. And it's like when you kind of do that early contract with a guy who's not super productive, you get like not much help, and you sort of have needs at the position, right? It's just that's kind of where they're at. And so that's really the situation with him. He's more of like a wide receiver four type scenario in terms of fantasy, I think, is like a ceiling. Maybe he could crack the 30s, but it's not really going to move the needle, and I'm not really interested at the cost. Paris Campbell Paris Campbell, KJ Hamler, and Van Jefferson sort of fit here in the mid-50s to the mid-60s. I think if I had to take a bet in this range, it's probably Hamler. I think Campbell could be interesting if he could get healthy and get back, because I do think there's, like I said, I think there's opening an opportunity there with Indianapolis. But I like the situation of, I like the profile of Hamler, but the situation's crummy. I mean, this is kind of the problem with second round guys. You can talk yourself into them, but when you sort of look at the odds, it's like, all right, maybe like two, maybe three of these guys, these later guys here hit. So that's really the concern there. James Washington's a similar example of that. He's a wide receiver, 70. Anzi Isabella, 81. Anthony Miller, 92. And actually, in terms of production to date, Anthony Miller's probably undervalued, but I think he's well below his base rate as a production guy. He's at 14%. Round three guys is Bryan Edwards, Devin Duvernay, Tre'Quan Smith, and Miles Boykin. You know, I think all of these guys, if you could get out of them, I would probably do it. Problem with Boykin, he's a 110. Tre'Quan Smith is at 100. I think, yeah, he's just underperformed his opportunity to date, and that's not a good sign, considering he had plenty of opportunities to be, you know, productive. Devin Duvernay, I think he's well below his base rate. I think he's more of like a special teams guy. The interesting pivot here is Bryan Edwards, and we have him at wide receiver 58. I think that's a clear pivot, personally. I guess we'll see with Nelson Aguilar, but you know, that experience is a little concerning. You have Ruggs, who's got higher pedigree. It was a clear preference in 2020, and you know, that's a concerning situation to me in terms of, you know, that feels like a pretty falling knife that we're trying to catch there in terms of his viability. All right, turn into some of the day three guys. Not going to hit all of them. The list is pretty voluminous and it's not super relevant, so I'll just hit some of the upper level guys. Gabriel Davis, Darnell Mooney are going to be probably boom projections, similar to the way Darius Slayton was in years past. I'm not particularly interested in either of them. I think Gabriel Davis is interesting, but more in like a, he's not, I think he fits more in the wide receiver four type role of an offense where you've got, you know, two guys, you know, you've got a Diggs, you've got, you know, someone else on the outside, you've got the Cole Beasley, and then you sort of use him to take some shots with, to sort of do some different things with. I don't think if he's situated in terms of like a two or three in priority, I think that's probably a bridge too far. So I would encourage the Bills to address the position. And, you know, if they don't, maybe he steps up. But again, he was pretty low efficiency. So that's really the thing, that's the kind of the concern that I have. Alan Lazard's in this, so is Preston Williams. I mean, this is kind of the example of when you have a really low pedigree guy and you can get a really uptick price for him because everyone's buzzing on him, you do it, and that's kind of the example. Some other guys in here, Jacoby Myers, he was basically out of necessity in 2020. Russell Gage is on this list, potential uptick if there's cap casualties, was the note that I have there, so that's an interesting one to watch. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he is a wide receiver, 85, finished at 55 this year, so again, he's in his, you know, in his later, approaching his later 20s without a hit. That's not a particularly good sign in terms of viability, although you could, you know, potentially spot start him there. And then some other ones here. Jalen Guyton's on this list. He's a flash player, but it's got like no pedigree. Scotty Miller, you know, same type of situation, day three guy that you just kind of think he's more of like a role, like a bit role player type. So that's really the situation there. That's really the relevant guys. Josh Reynolds is on this list. He's at 108 overall, so maybe he's a guy that you could say a potential uptick if he hits in free agency. He's still going to be only 26 years old, so I think that's a pretty notable feature there. So all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. That details basically the wide receiver tiers. So again, they're not linear, right? They're put in here based on ADP. I do have some specific target players in green. I have some specific avoid or sell players in red. But you know, we're gonna do more strategy on these things, and I think it's gonna be a pretty exciting, using this as a foundation is a pretty exciting thing, especially with the experience progress marker there. I'm really big fan of having that incorporated into the analysis. So I will, that'll do it for this episode. Till next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.